SBS Radio.
Nagpapatuloy ang ating panayam kay Dr. Eva Abal ng International River Foundation ukol sa paggawad ng Asia River Prize sa Ilog Pasig at ang nararapat na hakbang para magpatuloy ang kasalukuyang masiglang estado nito. We are just right along the river here in Brisbane. We're in South Bank. And I'd like to think in a lot of ways, Brisbane and Manila have a lot of similarities in terms of they're both river cities. Yep. And in your experience as an expert in water resources, and I'm sure you've seen model river cities in different parts of the world, what do you think are the qualities of a thriving river city, regardless of where in the economic spectrum a country actually falls, whether it's a developing country or a developed country? What do you think are those qualities?
So river cities, I think, you know, when you look at literally a definition of a river city is a city that actually has a river in the middle, or it's intertwined, that the community is interconnected with the river. And that's what we would call as a river city. So a city becomes a river city when it starts embracing the river. And I think I've mentioned it in the beginning, when it stops turning its back against the river, the city becomes a river city. So it's really, when you look at river city, it's the community, it's the economy, and eventually it's definitely the condition of the river, because people would love to embrace the river if it's clean. You know, it's very hard to embrace a river which has a lot of rubbish. When you look at Brisbane and let's say Manila, in the case of Pasig, there's a number of similarities. If you actually, you know, get out of the whole gross pollution first, both rivers are working rivers. So we have to accept that. And most of the rivers around cities are working rivers. That means then we have to have a vision that we will look after the rivers if they were to become river cities. The coexistence of a city and a river is another criteria for a river city. That means that the city is able to enjoy the river and that the river is able to thrive with the city around it. So they look after each other. And as you can see here in Brisbane, you know, we love the river, but years ago, we also were in a stage where we actually turned a back on the river. It's just, I think, and I'll have to credit here the Lord Mayor of Brisbane then, Lord Mayor Jim Sourley, who said, nope, I want everybody to have access to the river. And that's what it is. You know, and that's what makes a river city.
And we're talking about communities and the way cities are designed. In 2015, the United Nations released the Sustainable Development Goals, which is now 17, that includes the right to clean water and sanitation, and also the protection of life underwater.
Yep.
It includes building sustainable cities and communities as well. In your previous interview, you mentioned how there is a need to attach or apply economic values to natural resources, in this case, water. At what level do you think businesses and communities are in terms of understanding how their corporate and personal finances depend so much or are affected by the overall health of water resources?
If you ask me for here in Australia, I think that transformation is there. A lot of businesses now, and once again, this is also based on my experience in the reef, a lot of them now have understood or understanding now that the role of an ecosystem adjacent to them in the way they do their business. So I think that's there. There's a bit of improvement for that to happen in Asia. I know there are companies now with genuine corporate social responsibility. And it's a win-win eventually for these companies, right? It's their dependency on the river, but at the same time, they have to look after this asset. I still stand by what I said that last time, that ecosystems such as rivers need to be classified as assets. And only then if we did that, can we then understand how much we have to give back to the river. Because an asset means we have to protect it.
Yeah.
We have to value it. We can't just dump and not look after it and expect it to be resilient. The other one that I'd like to advocate now is the reason why we need to value these assets is we need to aim for resilience. It's not just a recovery. And I've spoken to the colleagues in Pasig River Conservancy Commission on this one, that basically we have to aim for resilience of the rivers, not just recovery. Recovery is for us today. Resilience is for future generations. So we need to rebuild Pasig for future generations.
What more do you think needs to be done by the government and stakeholders back home in the Philippines to make sure that they sustain the great work that everybody, all the stakeholders, including the commission, of course, and the local governments, just so to sustain that great work and make sure that it lasts forever?
Yes. You mentioned the MDG, Celeste, mm-hmm. and I would like to respond along that. Mm-hmm. The 17th SDG is basically partnerships. I think that's what the government and the corporates and the community should really enhance more. The scale, so when I go back to why Pasig River won, it was because of the scale of the problem and the scale of the response. The challenge we always have sometimes in a situation where it's so difficult, we sometimes lose hope. I think the commission gave the river hope that you could start with little steps and look at where they are now. So that's probably what the judges wanted to showcase, that by starting on little steps, this will actually reach further out. And this is what is a challenge to the Philippine government, to the corporates, and to the community on Pasig River. There has to be genuine partnerships involved here. Gone are the days where traditionally it is the government. We can't do that anymore. There are a number of corporates. There is a very vibrant community. We actually have to gel together for this. It doesn't only have to be a national government. There is that whole international flavor when we look at SDGs. So really, SDG 17 is very important. Mm. It is about partnerships, and that's what I'd like to encourage more. You see that in the commission now. I know they've had a lot of challenges in some cases, but the progress they've done, actually, you'll see that their efforts have actually outweighed the challenges. They need to do more. That's just part of the Pasig River that has been rehabilitated. They need to do a lot more, and they need to engage more stakeholders. They're now in the limelight, so it's to their advantage. They have to use this to their advantage.
Dr. Eva Abal, CEO of the International River Foundation, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much, Celeste. And we are as excited as everyone in terms of the inaugural Asia River Prize.
Para sa Radyo SBS, Celeste McIntosh.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.